Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man, give this band a big round of a love clap. Thank you so much, guys and girls. Appreciate all that you do. Amen. The Cowboy Church before. It's an honor to have you. What took you so long to get here? People come like, and I know some people that were like, everybody, I heard last week. Yeah, well, they could. And a little. tithing, offering. Because again, it this way. Give money. Level land, Texas. start thinking about the harvest. Because God wants you to be in the harvest mode. It takes more work in the harvest. Ask any farmer. Matter of fact, they'll work all night in the harvest because the temperature is perfect for the harvest. So it's the harvest that we got to gather up. So when you give to the Lord through an offering or through a tithe, or when you're given alms to just help someone in need, or the first fruits, whatever, understand it's a seed. Everything we do is a seed. And when you understand that, you'll start getting out of debt because you planted a seed to get out of debt. Man, that's a wonderful way to live, y'all. Amen? So in this bucket and in that bucket, this is where we come and we're able to sow the seed into the kingdom of God. And what does that seed do, by the way? Most churches don't ever talk about what do we do with it. Well, we pay the electric bill. That's a good start, right? It's hot. We pay the salaries of people that work here at our church. We give. Oh, man, we give a lot. We're building a kid's church. How many know that kid's church is almost finished? They shot it to me again this morning. I sat down with Daryl just to let y'all know, because everything we do here is going to be done debt-free. So this building was built debt-free. So the kids' church that we're right in the middle of, well, no, we're at the end of it because it's almost done. The paint is already completed. They told me this morning that we just lack just a little bit, and then we got to start buying commodes and doors and flooring, those kind of things. And so I want y'all to be in prayer that financially that stuff starts coming in so we can get our kids into their classes. There's 8 of them with 4 bathrooms. I can't wait, because I know they're probably tired of going to the arena and the announcer stand. No, they can go right out the door into their classes now, and the youth as well. And so so they shot me a number of about 30,000 that we're still lacking to finish that up. So raise your hand if you want to write that check here. The point is it's seed. Let's call it in as a group. Let's believe it in. And watch what God does. He'll do it. And so anyway, we're still believing for that. That's what you're sowing into the kingdom of God. All right, so come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's some giving music. Amen. We're going to be in 1 John when you get ready. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Hey, Joni, I need a mic back here, a microphone. First, Mike. Mike McCloskey, I want you to come up here just real fast. Bring you a microphone when you come, though. I need a microphone that's going to work. Amen. Last week, I had tried to get Mike up here right as we was all dismissing and welcoming new people that Mike, just come right up here, please. Most of you guys know that Mike, man, does a lot politically in the state of Texas. Matter of fact, we're going to have another... how Christians can be engaged in the political process is very important, guys, that Christians don't sit back and allow our country to continue to go down the opposite way from God. It's time that Christians stand up. There's 80 million Christians in the United States. Think about that. I always vote a platform. Trust me, I'm on TV, so I'm not afraid behind this podium to tell you that we're going to vote the Bible. I am, and never in the history ever has a church lost their 501c3 status because of what they believe and what they say behind this podium. Now, I'm smart. We don't tell anybody how to vote, but we want people to vote. And you vote the way God tells you to vote. Say amen to that. Okay. With that said, I wanted him to share just real briefly because I still have to preach, okay? So, I want you to just let them know kind of what you shared with us last time that God is doing in the state of Texas and the legislature and all that good stuff. Amen?
Yes.
Make sure Thank that's... You. Let me see if that's on. It's on. It's the blue one. It's on. It's the green light's on. Checking one, two, like this. Well, oh, I forgot. You'll get confused. My bad. Yeah, that ain't going to work. Bring me another mic, Joni.
I'll start for you.
Yeah. Can you scream? Yeah. No, because they won't be able to hear you on TV. Check it as you come down. Make sure it's working. Yeah, yeah. Run, girl. Forest.
I got magic legs.
I know. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Corey. I think we have one that works now. Really appreciate the opportunity to come and share. We're very concerned when churches started hearing that, whether we're essential or non-essential. A few months ago, we didn't even know there was a difference, but that became an issue here in Texas. And churches are still closed. As a matter of fact, I said to Corey this morning that they're having rallies around the United States, open our churches. Well, and there's a lot of churches right here in this area that are still closed. And you hear about California, you can't sing in church. In Maine, you have to get a permit from the governor to open your church. The Supreme Court just ruled a couple weeks ago that the state of Nevada can not let churches of more than 50 people open. So we go, that's a real problem. So we had a small group meet here. Corey was glad to facilitate right here in this very church. We came together, and then after that, I created a resolution that I sent to the state party, and we passed a couple weeks ago the second highest priority for the next legislative session. Guarantee the rights of individuals, organizations, and businesses to exercise their sincerely held religious beliefs by prohibiting local ordinances, state laws, or executive orders that violate those rights. We are going to take that. Now that we have that authority, we're going to take that, we're going to write a bill, and we're going to present it to the state legislature, and we're going to go to the state legislature next winter in January, and we're going to have a day where we go there and we lobby for this and we make sure that churches in Texas don't have to close again. That should not happen.
Amen.
And so, as Corey was talking about, we're going to have a program here sometime towards the end of next month, and we'll talk about engagement in the election process. We'll also talk about and we'll teach folks how we can go and lobby for something that's important to us like that. So I encourage you to, when we get the information out about that, we'll have some of our elected officials come and speak to us. We'll talk about the elections. We'll talk about the things that we can do to make these kind of things and make a difference as Christians. Thank you.
Amen. Good. Thank you. Awesome. All right. Clear the alleyways with a big round of applause. Kids Church and our youth group are dismissed out the back end. Come on, kiddos. If you're 12 to about 18, I'm telling you, you'll have a blast in our youth group. Is it those guys and girls, man, they get there and they get to identify with their age. And so, as well as our kids, man, they have a blast. And so, and we teach them. Amen. All right. I want you to raise your Bible up. Let me see all the Bibles. I want to see your word. If it's your phone, just raise it up. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I want you to get, thank you for that. I want you to get used to bringing that Bible. A lot of churches are starting to go to where they just put it up on the screen. And I think that's an okay thing. And I'm not saying I won't ever do that. I've said that before, but I'm changing. I won't ever do it unless God tells me to do it, because I think what it creates is people then don't bring their Bible. And you need that Bible. You need to learn how to get it open and get to a place to where you can find the answer to anything in life. And so, let's start that now. In your Bible, I want you to open up to the 1 John, all the way at the back of your Bible. Get to Revelations and hang a left. I want you to go to the 1 John and go to chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3. Then we're going to jump to 1 John, chapter 4 right after that. and then we'll back up just to the left to the book of James, chapter 4. Now, let me open this message up. Last week, we talked about being in the body of Christ. How many of you was here last week? Very powerful message of understanding that if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, don't have anything to do with denomination. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you're part of the body of Christ. Say amen to that. Everybody that's part of the body has something to do in the kingdom of God. All of it might be different. We went to the book of James. We talked about the fivefold, which is when some are called to be the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet. Those five are to help the saints, people that are born again, do the work of the ministry. I think, though, because some people don't feel like they're called to be behind a podium like that, which is true, because not everybody is. There's only some, the Bible says. All of us, though, are called to do something in the body of Christ. You might be the hand, you might be the foot, you might be the eye, you might be the ear. You might be something in the kingdom of God, but you are something. And a lot of times people don't do what God has called them to do because of several things. Sin. A lot of times the devil will convince you that because of what you did in your past, you're not worthy to do anything in the kingdom of God. Well, that's a lie. In Jesus' name, that is a lie. Because God wants you to do everything in the kingdom of God to fulfill everything that He's called us to do. But we got to get to that place. We need to get to the place to where even if we don't know enough Scripture or we haven't spent a lot of time with God, that we still are part of the body. And you got to find out who you are. And so we started talking about that last week. We started talking about just even helps ministry, serving, having the gift of healing, and things that, you know, different parts of the body. I mean, there's people that are, God just has blessed financially to sow into the kingdom of God. I mean, we talked about all those kind of things, and that needs to be all of us. Say amen to that. And you need to believe God for all of it. I would believe God for any of these parts of the body that would help people, like encouraging and edification and exhortation and the gift of healing, prophecy, or whatever. You want these kind of things so that you can do what you're supposed to do in the body of Christ. And I think what's happened is there's no power in the church because only a handful of people do what they need to do in the kingdom of God. A lot of people are way off from the blessing of God, and God's actually gifted them with some wonderful things in the kingdom. And you've got to find your place in the kingdom of God, because you, if you're born again, if you're not saved, you're going to be today. But if you are born again, there's something for you to do. It might be in music. Some type of music ministry, it doesn't matter. But God has called you to do something in the body of Christ. And so we got, it was a wonderful, powerful message. But after that message, the Lord began to deal with me through some different people. And that's how God talks to a lot of us, is He'll bring some spiritual advisors and authority into your life to just to speak. And it might just be a family member. It might be someone, a friend, that speaks something into your life. And man, when you start meditating on that, oh Jesus, God begins to do some wonderful things in the kingdom. As He began to minister to me about this message, and I talked to my family, my mom and my wife and daughter as we was going to a barrel race, He began to give me some warnings that we need to talk about in the church about the body. Because I'm here to tell you that the devil does not want the body to succeed. And there is a lot of fighting in the body. And we don't need that in the kingdom. Because it stops the move of God. And so this morning we're going to talk about a few things. Because what ruins most churches is bickering and fighting. Now, listen to me. That is not going on in this church at this time. Thank God. I haven't had to deal with any kind of bickering and fighting that I know of. I mean, it might be happening and other people might know about it, but as the pastor of this church, they hadn't told me. Because I'm pretty hard on the devil in that regard. And you got to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against that devil, the spiritual darkness, that he's trying to come in and destroy some things. Okay? So when you get a big church and you're starting to grow like we are, then the enemy tries to come in there and causes a lot of havoc. And so if we understand about what I would call warnings in the body of Christ, and we get warned that the enemy does try to do these things, then it will stop a lot of things. Now it's not, well, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about your family life. I'm talking about your business. I mean, as y'all know, since I don't take a salary at this church, a lot of times the majority of my counseling sessions are financial. I mean, they're hurting in some areas. And most of you know, and I've said it before, I counsel more millionaires than I do anything, because there's a lot of pressure. Okay? So when you're talking about a business, if you allow strife and fighting in a business, it can destroy it. Same as the church, same as a marriage, same as a family. I know families that they haven't talked to one side in a long time. And that fighting was designed so that there couldn't be any power, man. Well, the church needs power in these days. Say amen to that. We need the power. That's why I believe this virus, which is of the devil. Would you agree with that? The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. But a virus is not good. And it was designed from the enemy to stop the power of the church. Because then we stopped meeting. And there's not much power, you know. Now, I did this video. I don't know if some of y'all saw it. And, oh man, it went. And I noticed there was some, it wasn't any on my friends. I mean, we, in our personal page, Corey and Jamie Ross, we have 5,000 friends. That's all you can have. And then we have close to 5,000 followers. And that's the only way. If you follow, then you can be our friend. You want to be our friend? Corey Ross Ministries can have all of them. And so most people that don't know it go to Corey Ross Ministries. And so anyway, I make this video. And I noticed that it was some shares of our friends. And I just happened to see it where there was some Christians saying, "Oh, I don't agree with anything he said." And I'm okay with that because I don't care. Did y'all hear me? Because if you care, you're going to be upset all the time. And so it didn't hurt my feelings or nothing. But it was amazing because these are Christians that say, you know, didn't agree with my video of that the power is not there in the church because we're not able to assemble. Well, not knowing me, they didn't know that I understand the power is in Jesus. Okay. Normally, being a Jesus man, I don't have to say the power's in Jesus. I just said the power is in us assembling. And I didn't keep explaining that, yes, we assemble in the name that's above every name, Jesus. He is our foundation. Not a church's name, not a preacher's name, not a denomination. The power is in Jesus. Would y'all agree with that? Okay. So, the enemy then goes on attack and he tries to break up the power. That's why if he breaks up the covenant of marriage, then he's broken up the power. Because there's power in agreement. I don't ever do anything usually without my wife, at least if it's big. I don't do anything without my wife knowing about it and approving it. If it's especially if it's financial. You know, I'm not saying I can't go buy a Coke without her knowing it. You know what I'm saying. But if it's to, you know, to buy a horse on Tuesday, a nice bay horse, heel horse, I have already conversed with her and she is in agreement about the amount. I will take up an offering for it here in just a little bit, but I'm kidding. But I want to go to her because I want that agreement. So if the enemy can break up the agreement, there's no power. And that's what happens in marriages. Now listen to me. If you've gotten into a marriage and it's over with, thank God for forgiveness and grace and mercy, because God wants you to have that covenant won. You just got to find them and start allowing God to open up the doors. Okay, so that's what we're going to kind of quickly talk about in this message, is the enemy trying to break the power. And a lot of times in the church, and again, remember, I'm talking about all areas, family life and so on. He tries to break that power by fighting. I mean, if he can get people to start doing things politically in the church, and when I say politically, that means that they're politicking to try to get into a position. And let's just begin to read about a few things. 1 John chapter 3. Say amen if you're there. Verse 14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now listen to that. In the Amplified, it says, we know that we passed over out of death into life by the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians. Here's what that means. If you're born again and you've given your life to Jesus, for me it was May the 10th, 1979, Otis Baptist Church in Otis, New Mexico, right outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico, where most of my family still lives, or a lot of them. I gave my life to Jesus as a little vacation Bible school. That's why I love vacation Bible schools that we had last week. I gave my life to Jesus. Okay, when I gave my life to Jesus, things changed in my life. Now, I didn't act any different until I started getting into this Bible and finding out who I was in Christ. I didn't really change in the flesh in my thinking until I started renewing my mind by this Bible. I started finding out who I was in Christ. But here's the deal. When you give your life to Jesus, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light through the light, Jesus. Okay, things have to change in one's life when you give your life to Jesus. You can act the same way, but you need to not. You need to start acting in the new kingdom, the kingdom of light. And that's why we come to church. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why we, you know, get into the Word of God, is because we need to start learning who we are in Christ Jesus. Because that's going to give you the power and the victory over the death and the darkness that you used to live in because of sin. Okay? So get that in your mind, that when you give your life to Jesus, things change in your life. You are not supposed to act like the world. We live in the world, but we do not live of this world. Say amen to that, y'all. So when we understand that, then things change in our lives. And we start acting different. Okay. With that said, that's why when we read verse 14, that's what it means. We know that we passed over out of the death, out of the old sin nature, out of the old before Christ person, into life by the fact, here's the fact, here's the proof of it, that we love our brethren. We love our fellow brethren. Well, how many of you know, sometimes in the church, we don't like some people. But that don't have a thing to do with your job in the kingdom of God. Because as a Christian, That person that you don't like is still your sister or brother in Christ. And we got to get over it. We've got to mature up. That's why when you read Ephesians and it talks about the fivefold, doing the work of the ministry, coming into the full knowledge of the Son of God, you know, and all those kind of things. The reason that we need to do the work of the ministry is because when you keep reading, it says, don't be like babies going to and fro. In other words, we need to grow up and start living as God's kids. We need, that's why we come to church again and we start learning. I want to know what to do when I come up against this battle. And so in the church, there's a warning that God's given all of us as we grow, that we need to stop fighting and we need to stop bickering and we need to stop doing the things that would cause the power not to be in the church anymore. Listen, if we fight and bicker in the church because of how this denomination believes and how that one believes, then it's going to cause people not to be healed by the power of God. It's going to cause, I mean, that's why you have churches that don't have any power. Matter of fact, the divorce rate in the church is the same as the world. It's just as bad. Why is that? Because of fighting. And man, I'm telling you, church, it's time to get over all that. It causes people to leave churches to try to find a new one. The reason God has birthed the cowboy movement, I believe it was a prophecy from a very incredible prophet named Smith Wigglesworth that said in the end days, and I just believe we're in the end times. We are in the end of the end times. That's why you see a lot of fighting going on in Washington. Ooh, Jesus. Has any of you watched the news? Yeah, I wouldn't. I have some of you. I do just to keep up with some of the times, but it's best if you don't, because it's going to depress you. But man, there's a lot of fighting. The division of our country is incredible right now. But with that said, that's why Christians have to rise up. And they got to take back authority of this nation. I mean, prayer getting taken out of school was the Christians' fault because we sat back and allowed it to happen. We wanted just back up because we didn't want that kind of fighting. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Okay. Now, so what we're talking about real fast is we're talking about how the body of Christ needs to get along because, again, you're part of the body. God wants you to do something in the kingdom of God. I know some people want to do this thing in the body. But if you're not gifted to do this thing, and you're gifted to do something over here, it's better if you get over here. Because then you're gonna have a hard time trying to do something that you're not gifted to do just because you have a willingness to do it. We'll talk about that here in a second. So flip over to 1 John chapter 4, just one page to your right. Because as you just saw in the first part, and I encourage you, I don't, for lack of time, I should have read 14 through 16 of 1 John 3. But for a lack of time, we're going to transition. I know we saw about the love of our brethren. Well, let's talk about love for just a second, because in 1 John chapter 4, look with me at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, all of you have done that, correct? I mean, that's just receiving Jesus as Lord. That's Romans 10 and 9. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Say it louder.
Saved.
I mean, you need to be saved. Saved from living on this earth without a Savior. Okay. John 14 talks about Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. Okay, so here we're learning that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love, say love, say it louder, love, the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. In other words, we need to always constantly operate by the love of God, because that's who we are. Jesus is the Lord of our life. He is the Son of God. We serve the God of love, and so on. Okay? Now look, in verse 18 then, it says, because there's no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. So if we're in fear of not getting a position in the church, or the fear of a virus coming on you, you need to get over that fear. Because the fear is the opposite of faith. That's why I prayed a little bit ago, and I pray it every time I come here, that angels are charged about the four corners of this property at the gate when you come in, that coronavirus does not come even in this gate. Why? Because it's not allowed to. It does not have permission to. Psalms chapter 91 says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High is going to abide under that shadow, that protection. And then when we confess He's our refuge, and we confess He's our fortress, and we confess in our God that we trust, then that virus, the Bible says, in the same book of 91 or whatever, says that no disease or sickness or plague shall come near our dwelling. Now, we are either going to believe that, or we're going to stay in fear. I'm not saying we don't get in wisdom. I'm not saying that if God tells you to put on a mask, you put it on. But don't you do it with fear. You do it with wisdom. Because fear will cripple a lot of things in the kingdom of God. I don't like fear. Fear ruins a lot of things in the kingdom. I mean, just be gray-haired. Being 51, I never would have thought I'd be 51. I always wanted to just stay at 26 or whatever. You said no. All the memories came back, you know. Oh no, thank God. But having a little more gray hair, there's always that opportunity to fear. A little pain starts right there. Fear, what does the enemy say in your mind? You're dying. I mean, he brings just a little pain to, uh-oh, what is that? Could that possibly be cancer? When you get your love walk, what's a good word, Holy Ghost? Perfected. When that pain comes, you'll just say, well, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Instead of meditating on the fear of, uh-oh, what's going on right there? See, if you do that, then that thing has to obey. I don't know why I'm pointing at the right side, but I just am. Well, we're going to stay right here for a minute. Because listen to me, what does fear do? It's constantly wanting to try to get our minds to meditate on, uh-oh, I wonder if this is it for me. But when you have the Word of God on the inside of you, and you've perfected your love walk, and you start saying, I'm not in fear. My God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I'm healed. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Praise God, get your hands on me, boy. See, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be finding those people with the gift of healing. Come get that hand on me. But I'm not going to get in fear, because fear causes a lot of trouble in the church. All right, let's go to the last thing about the body needing to get along, and this warning that I believe God has given to the church so that we can have the power of God and see some things manifest that we're believing God for. In other words, if God begins to attack your marriage or attack your business or attack your family, what are you going to do? Are you just going to let Him attack? Or are you going to stand up by the power of God that lives on the inside of you and begin to speak to that mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea? You see, this Christian stuff is not for a bunch of babies. We are powerful in the kingdom of God. We are not supposed to be backed up and pushed back even in the United States of America.
We're supposed to be forward. We are the ones that are supposed to be owning the businesses in Liberty Hill and in Bertram and Vernon and Austin and everywhere else. That's another message. Flip over to your left to James. I mean, it's not but a few pages. Look at James chapter 4 with me real fast, because again, let's get set free from having to operate in the body of Christ with a bunch of bickering and fighting going on. No, let's all get along. Amen. You just get into your position where God has placed you. It does not matter how old someone is. All it matters is, where is your gifting in the body of Christ? What are you called to be and do? Because I'm here to tell you, there's people that should be singing up here, doing specials, and they're afraid to get up here. There's probably some wonderful musicians that possibly could be a part of our group. And trust me, you better be called to do it, because it's a professional group. I mean, we have a guy that's why God called Ricky. That's his gifting, to run this group. He's been doing it all his life. He's done the greatest shows. He was one of the Sons of the Pioneers in Branson as their fiddle player. You want to talk about a professional group? When we do things for God, we don't want to be unprofessional. Okay, fine. It's wanting a more professional word, man. You know, mediocre. We want things to be fantastic, man. I want people to come to this church because, wow, that's an incredible, the sound. I love old Mike because he's constantly trying to get those squeals out, right? What if no one cared about it and we had to listen to a squeal the whole service? We wouldn't have any people left, right? I want it professional, see? Okay, so get to where you're supposed to get in the body of Christ. But listen, look how James dealt with bickering and fighting in chapter 4, verse 1. What leads to strife, verse 1 in the Amplified? Discords and feuds. And how do conflicts and quarrels and fighting originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? Verse 2. Are you jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers? To hate is to murder, and as far as your hearts are concerned, you burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification and the contentment and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and you war. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive, because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil and selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire, you spend it in sensual pleasures. Verse 4. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend... Do you not know that being the world's friend? Do you not know? I mean, get a hold of this, y'all. Being the world's friend is being God's enemy. So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. In other words, we already talked about that. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness, the world, into the kingdom of God through his dear son Jesus, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become, say it, new. Okay. Look at verse 5. Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose, that says the Spirit, whom he has caused to dwell in us, yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with jealous love? But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet the evil tendencies of all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. I'll say this one thing real fast, and then I'm going to help you understand this. I've got 7 minutes. according to the big clock in the back. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that God will humble you. Get that? Get it? I mean, I've heard that all growing up. Oh, God will humble you. Nowhere does it say in the Word of God that God will humble you. But do you know what it says? Humble yourself. Okay? So with that thought in mind, here's what actually James is saying right here. When we fight in the church or in our family or... we were dealing with someone just a day ago that when he and his wife fight, they're mad for 3 days. 3 days. Now, y'all don't tell me y'all's... some people are like, that's you, baby. I couldn't stand. Me and Jamie, we talked about it. I think the longest fight we ever had lasted 30 minutes. When I was right, it was, you know, the first 3 minutes, and then quiet in the church, please, and then 30 minutes. And I'm quick to say it, man, I'm sorry. And so is she. It shouldn't last that long. Or I'll say we have this deal where we disagree. I'll say, do what? What'd you say? She'll say, I didn't say nothing. So in just a minute, I'll go, do what? What did I hear you say? Okay, I'm sorry. And usually it's my fault, right? But I'm just instigating. I want communication, though. I don't want to live by this. Well, look, what we do when we fight, in verse 1, it's trying to tell us that people fight in the church because of selfish desires, because of a wrong attitude, that party spirit, or in other words, an attitude that sacrifices relationships in the church. You don't want that. No. You don't want to have selfish desires or a wrong attitude. What about a wrong approach? The political methods, you just approached it. You're trying to... when I first started this church, that's what happened. We'd have people that were positioning for leadership. No. You don't ever want to do that. You want God to open that door, because then He places you right where He needs you to be. Now, sometimes people have to fulfill a position because it's something that needs to be met, but that might not be where they're supposed to stay and remain. The last thing is there could be a wrong aim, which is just simply means personal promotion. In other words, you don't want to have selfish desires when you're trying to do something in the church, because it will cause you to fight and bicker amongst the body. That wouldn't be good. So the Apostle Paul just dealt with that in verse 1. But in verse 2, what we do when we fight, we are driven by dissatisfaction. According to James, this person who chooses to fight is never satisfied. Others are viewed as obstacles, not as brothers and sisters. Oh man, get a hold of that, y'all. When we view people as brothers and sisters in Christ, then we're not trying to get them out of our way to get into that position. No, we're just back up and say, God, you take over, because that's my brother and sister in Christ, and I want them to succeed in the kingdom of God. In verse 3, then, James is dealing with... when we fight, we are discouraged in prayer. In other words, some people who fight are frustrated because they do not bother to seek God in prayer. I've told some people that we're thinking about doing some business with. I said, I want you to pray about this. And if God don't want you to do that, then I don't want you to do it. I want God to open up the door, see. That's what we need to understand. And then James, as I close, handles verse 4 through 6 this way. When we fight in the church or in something, we have denied intimacy with God. Because fighting is often the result of substituting a worldly, selfish pursuit in the place of a passion for God. Man. Fighting in the church or against the body. Remember, we're all part of the body. We all have something to do in the kingdom of God. Not just stand up here and preach, but you are part of the body, and you've got to fulfill what part you are. You cannot be all of it. Pastors try to be all of it. I can't be. I cannot go to the hospital as much as I'm requested to. Why? Because there's not enough time. But if I teach you right, you can go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick. You can go and encourage and say, come on. You can be the one that I have to get Howdy or Ricky or John Jernigan or some other ministers in the church to do weddings and do burials sometimes. I don't have time. Why? Well, because I know what part I am in the body of Christ. I cannot be all things to all people at the same time. But I try to be. Okay. So fighting in the church against the body hinders the advance of the good news of Jesus. Fighting Christians will damage and dismantle a church's witness in the community. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time to stop fighting. It's time to start helping people, because it's not in this church, because we're not fighting, right? Thank God. But what about a church you just came from? What about a family that you know about that is right in the midst of a fight? What about our country that is in the midst of a major fight spiritually? Man, I'm telling you, I'm standing up. Because that's the only time you should fight as Christians, to stand on values. I vote a platform, y'all. I want to know if this platform that I'm voting for, if it's a Republican or a Democrat, are they of God? Are they pro-God? Are they pro-marriage between a man and a woman? That's important to this believer in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says to replenish this earth, and you cannot replenish an earth with a man and a man or a woman and a woman. You can only do it with a man and a woman. You know why? Because the man has the seed. That's why you women need us for something. Come on. A woman cannot have a baby without the seed of a man. Okay? So it's gotten perverted. We do not hate, though. We do not hate someone that believes opposite. No. But the church can start fighting about that. Oh, Jesus. Equilow. Yeah, but we're a God of love. You know, we are. But we're a God of justice. We have to fight for the beliefs of this Bible. That's why in our country you've noticed that God has been being pushed away. Christianity is under attack. Wow. I've never seen Christianity under attack. So that's what I vote for. I want to vote for a party, a platform that is pro-God, pro-family, pro-business. I mean, what's wrong with a little hard work, guys? That's how all of us are raised. If you work hard, you will succeed. I don't want it handed to me. I want to work for it, praise God, because it means more. So let's quit fighting, and let's get all into the kingdom of God through love, and start seeing the power of God show up in our marriages, and in our churches, and in our relationships, and in all the things that we put our hands to, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right, do you receive it? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just, again, the warning that I believe you're giving the church to stop fighting amongst each other, the members in the body of Christ, so that we can receive the power to start seeing the church and the things that we believe for as the church. And Father, we know that this building is not the church. We are the church. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, that if we start fighting amongst the body and the members of the church, we're not going to see the manifestations that we're believing you for, which is to see a country that is a country founded by Christian principles and nothing else. The boldness, sir, that we should have because of love to stand up for what's right. And what is right to a Christian is the Word of God and nothing else. To not associate with the world's ways of doing things, because the Bible, you say, sir, that we are set apart. We are peculiar people. We are different. We operate in love, but yet we still need to fight for what we believe concerning the kingdom of God and your ways of doing things. So So, Father, thank you that we're not going to fight as the body of Christ. We're going to stand up as good soldiers in the kingdom of God and maintain a belief of the Judeo-Christian belief of that serves the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That serves the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and Him only. That believes the deity, praise God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, Father, thank you for this message. We receive it by faith right now in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. I just want your heads bowed just for a second in honor of God and your eyes closed, just in respect of your neighbor. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I have a question for all the people that are watching or that are here in this service this morning. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? In other words, if you died, do you know where you will go? The Bible says there's two places that we go when we leave this earth and die in this flesh. A place called heaven and a place called hell. Most preachers don't talk about the latter. But there's two places, heaven and hell. God created heaven for His believers. Hell was created because of a rebellious angel called Satan. And he wanted to be God. There was the first seed of fighting in the kingdom. Wow. But God took care of it. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. And Jesus is the only way to access the kingdom. Again, not a church, not being a good person. None of that stuff matters. What matters is the Son of God, Jesus, the Lord of your life. So when you die, would you go to heaven or that place called hell? Well, obviously, I want you to go to heaven. I don't want anybody going to hell. I don't care how much I dislike someone. I want you to go to heaven. But I can't make you go there. You have to decide right now. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have to decide to either receive Him or to reject Him. And I'm just asking you right now to receive Him. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. If you've never been saved, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven, or you don't know if you'd go to that place called hell if you left this earth. Please choose heaven by choosing Jesus. So we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life in a prayer. All the believers in here, I want you to pray this prayer with possibly people in here or watching that has never given their lives to the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. We're going to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. When you pray it, I want you to believe everything that you pray, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you're going to be saved by praying this prayer right now. You ready? And again, believers, I want you to pray this prayer because you're going to pray with someone sitting around you. And we'll just pray it with them. And let's do it just like this. You ready? Again, if you've never been born again, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell when you leave this earth, I want you to ask Jesus into your heart by praying this prayer with all of us right now. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. I want to go to heaven. I do not want to go to hell. Forgive me of all my sins. Today is my God day because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast. I'm not going to embarrass you and have you come down to the front. I did that when I got saved. I walked to the front of my church. Man, I was scared. Oh. But you don't have to do that. But I also want to tell you, don't ever be ashamed that you gave your life to Jesus. So right where you're sitting or right where you're watching, if you just gave your life to Jesus and He became the Lord of your life this morning, when I count to three, I'll say one, two, three. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, that was me. I just gave my life to Jesus, God. I meant that prayer, sir. And then just put your hand right back down. I want you to do it with boldness, because the Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. Don't ever be ashamed of receiving Him. I don't care how many times you've come to church or you haven't come to church. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and gave your life to the Lord, get that hand up when I say three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. John, someone over here needs to get... He saw it. That's three. I mean, just don't be ashamed. If you just gave your life to Jesus, I'm just going to give you a Bible. Get your hand up and then just put it right back down. Anybody else? Let me see it. Thank you, Jesus. Man, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. All right, look at me. All right. Thank God three people gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. It's amazing. I'm serious. Oh, all you new people, if you've never been here before, you'll see that almost every service. You'll see what God's doing. The harvest is ripe, y'all. People are getting saved more today than I've ever seen. Not at every church, though. You'll see some churches that won't even give a salvation plan. That makes sense. But this one will. If you're new here, I want you to start praying about planting yourself into a church. If this one is it, it's an honor to have you. If it's not it, then I want you to believe God to bring you to a church that believes the Bible. Find a Bible-believing church. But if it's this one, praise God. We want you to plant, because where you plant is where God will grow you. Amen? And so, if you've been burnt somewhere, let's get over it, because God, He'll bless you. Don't bring being burnt to this church, okay? Because then you'll be burnt here. No, get over that before, and let God heal you from that in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. I don't know if I have any announcements besides right now. Is the water ready? We're going to baptize, I believe, two people. If you've never been baptized, three people. If you've never been baptized and you want to, we got plenty of towels. You'll have a lot of time to soak in the sun and dry off. Don't worry about that. It's warm water. So here's what we're going to do. When we dismiss, the ones that want to go towards the tank, the others quietly visit and then exit when you can, okay? Visit all you want to, but just know we're going to baptize people right now. Amen. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you raised your hand, that's the first act of obedience is baptism. The death burial of the old you. And when you come up, the brand new you in Christ. It's kind of like we've always said, communion. We're remembering the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. That's what baptism is. My spiritual mom, Ann Smith, lives in Midland. She always says, you know, man, you want to talk about receiving the power. The people that get baptized and just do it, oh man, that's that first act of obedience. And you'll see some powerful things happen in your life. Amen? Y'all that came for the first time again, thank you for coming. I pray you come back. Amen? Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Hey, listen to me. We love you. Bible study is on Tuesday. My mom's teaching. Don't miss that one, I'm telling you. We will have to put the prophet's curse on you. You know what that is, don't you? Where a million fleas from a camel behind invade your underarms, and that your underarms are short and where you can't scratch. It's a bad... I'm kidding. You people are like, I break that curse in the name of Jesus. But that's how I'd be. Sure. We'll be speaking that mess. Father, we love you. God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing in this church. You are so worthy of praise. And Father, we just want to just be a part of the body. I want to, as the pastor of this church, I want to do everything, even though I make mistakes, sir. God, just give me that wisdom to be part of the body that I'm supposed to be. God, thank you for that. But yet, in the midst of being part of the body and serving in the church and part of the ministry. God, thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fight anymore. That we can receive that power by just getting along and not being selfish. I just want to work for you, sir, so that we can get as many people as we can to the knowledge of Jesus. We want people to go to heaven and not hell. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for what this church is doing. God bless it. And now as we baptize, I thank you, Lord, for just what's going to happen in that. God, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed with a big old round of applause. Love you.